this is much harder to preach like this than to stand up with my Bible and start talking. And so this scares a lot of preachers. I'm saying, I don't want to preach like this because I ain't used to having points on the board and people taking notes. But it's so important that we take notes so that we can understand the Word of God and apply it to our lives. Amen? Amen. And so that's why I try to stay with the book, the Bible. You know, because we all have opinions. And our opinions, when it comes down to it, my opinion and your opinion means absolutely nothing when it comes to the Word of God. Amen? The Bible says, let God be true to every man and be a what? A liar. So my opinion and your opinion don't really matter when it comes to the Word of God. So we want to be into the Word of God and say, what does the Word of God say? And we want to obey that because we want to live under His authority, His teaching, and His leadership. So we're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7. It's going to be 5 verses, but they're powerful verses. So when you find it, Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 20, please stand with me as we read it together. And we'll begin at verse 15. So Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. Now, someone asked me before, what Bible do I preach out of? I use the English Standard Version for some people. You don't have to have that one, but in case you want to know, that's the one that we use, and the ones that we pass out are the ones that go along with the Bible I actually preach out of. It's the English Standard Version. It just makes it simple for those who may not been in church before who understand the Bible. So that's why I use the English Standard Version, just because it makes it easier for people to understand what I'm trying to say. And we want people to hear the Word of God, understand it, and begin to apply it to their lives. Amen? So Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. Jesus says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? Or figs from thistles? So, every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Let us pray. Father, speak to our hearts today. May we understand your word. May we apply it to our lives. May we continue to trust your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Beware of false prophets. Now, this text comes right after Jesus has encouraged the people to enter through the narrow gate. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he's taught about life and what it means. Really, the whole Sermon on the Mount is really talking about the kingdom life. And to give us a refresher, the definition for you is on the board again. It's on the PowerPoint when we talk about a kingdom life. A kingdom life is one that's under the authority, teaching, and leadership of Jesus Christ. So the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus teaching the people and helping them understand what life looks like, what is expected of those who live under his authority, his teaching, and his leadership. And Jesus said, if you are my disciples, then you will begin to live this way. And so this is what Jesus said. This is what life looks like in his kingdom. You know, we are to love one another. We are to forgive one another. We let our light shine. We are to pray. We are to give. We are to fast. You know, all those things, he says, is what life looks like under his kingdom. Then he says that as he's preaching this, Jesus is really calling for a decision. And he tells the people, enter through the narrow gate. He said, because there's a wide gate and many are on that road. The narrow gate is difficult and few find it. But at the end of that narrow gate is life. At the end of that wide gate is destruction. So he says, enter through the narrow gate. And then on top of that, then once he says, enter through the narrow gate, then he says, beware of false prophets. And I believe what Jesus is saying to beware of false prophets is this. There will be people who will tell you that the wide gate is the gate you should enter. That false prophets will tell you, don't enter through the narrow gate. Don't go the way of Jesus. Don't follow Jesus. That way is too difficult. Don't go in that gate. Go in the gate that is wide, where few, where everybody is on it. Go that way. And I believe what you say, don't believe these false prophets who are going to tell you and deter you from following Jesus Christ. And there are many people out there, many false prophets who will deter you from following Jesus Christ. They will tell you Jesus Christ is too narrow-minded, that is too difficult. You should not have him under your, be under his authority, his teaching, or his leadership. And even this week, as I was preparing this message, I was seeing news reports of pastors on televisions or pastors saying these things about where, you know, we preach an inclusive gospel. That all religions, you know, lead to God. See, now he's preaching a wide gate. He said, hey, all religions, you know, we just love everybody. And Jesus is all about love, so all religions lead to God. I want to tell you this. If all religions lead to God, do you know the crucifixion was a horrible and bad joke for Jesus Christ? If all religions lead to God, then Jesus Christ suffered for nothing. Why go through all that if all roads lead to God? But many people will say that. We'll say, oh yeah, we're all about truth and our religion lead to God. That is not true. That is a lie. That is a false prophet. But many people will say, oh, I want to be a part of that church because God just loves everybody. But yes, God loves everybody, but he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, that whomsoever believe in him will have everlasting life. And we must never give up that. Then I heard this pastor say, oh yeah, we love everybody and we're going to affirm, we affirm lesbian, gays, bisexual, transgender. We affirm everybody over here. God loves everybody. We affirm everybody. That's a wide gate. People love that gate. Well, I'm going to stay on the narrow gate. I can't affirm what God says he don't affirm. But many people in our society, in our today, will say that's the wide gate. You should be on that gate, that narrow gate. That is too exclusive. You preach an exclusive gospel, not an inclusive gospel. Well, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. That was very exclusive. He says, I'm it. There's no one else. And we must always, never, never bend the knee to pressure or to popularity or to politics when it comes to saying that the gospel is all about you coming, putting your faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. But there'll be many people who will tell you, don't go on that road, let's travel. Enter the wide gate. Many preachers have started off good and became false prophets. Many have become false prophets. So let's look at the description of a false prophet. The description of a false prophet. Pretty simple. Description of a false prophet, they claim to speak for God. A false prophet claims to speak for God. Because in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, a prophet was someone who either foretold or foretold. For is either foretold, thus saith the Lord, God's telling me to tell you this, or they foretold, said, this is going to happen to you. Something's going to happen. So God used prophets in the Old Testament to speak for him, to say, this is what thus saith the Lord. And even in Jeremiah's days, there were false prophets who told the people what they wanted to hear. And most of the time, when you think about prophets, most of the time, especially in our modern day, most prophets always tell you something that is good. No, seriously, most prophets tell you your money's coming. God wants you to reign. You're going to be a champion. This year, 2014 is your year. That has passed away and been your year. Well, 2015 is your year. There's always something that your ship is coming in. But when you read the prophet Jeremiah. Read those verses 20 through 24, 25, when God told Jeremiah to tell the people, you're going to go in captivity to Nebuchadnezzar for 70 years, and false prophets say, oh, that's not going to happen to you. No, God told me today, don't even worry about that. Jeremiah's a liar. That's not going to happen. You had Hananiah say that was a prophet. Shemaiah was a prophet, false prophet. And they told the people what they wanted to hear. And when you read that scripture in Jeremiah 29, a verse that we quote a lot, when he says that, for the plans I have towards you, says the Lord, That comes on the heel of Jeremiah telling the people, stop believing false prophets. Stop believing your dreams. He's saying to them, listen, you are going to go into captivity for 70 years. You're going. And he tells them, don't fight Nebuchadnezzar. Go and when he come and take you, don't resist him. Because he's doing my will. You're going to go. But then he says to them, after 70 years, I'm going to bring you out. Because I know the thoughts and the plans I have towards you, says the Lord, to give you peace, a future and a hope. But he's saying to you, you're going to captivity, but I'm going to bring you out in my time. But you're going in. So when we quote that verse a lot of times, he's talking about something bad's going to happen to you, but trust God, in the end, I'm going to bring you out. And he was telling them, don't believe these false prophets who are telling you it's not going to happen. So when we quote scripture, we need to make sure we have it in the proper context of that's what he's saying, you're going into captivity. But most false prophets claim to speak for God. And we have that even today. There are many people who claim to speak for God as if they say, God told me to tell you this. God told me to tell you your year is coming. It's a year of jubilee for you. And many people fall right into it, don't they? They really do. I was flipping through channels the other day, and this guy said that God told him to tell the people, listen, you need to give $58.99 for the whole year, and your blessing is coming. I mean, down to the cents. God told him to tell the people, call that number right now. Your blessing is coming. Now, we laugh at that, but many people was calling that number. We laugh about that. God told me to tell you, you need this prayer call. Call this number for your healing. We laugh about that. Many people call that number. They claim to speak for God. And what has happened is the fact that what happened to these false prophets, they begin to not trust the word of God. They begin to say, I have a better word than the word of God. God is still speaking. So let me tell you what God is saying to me to tell you. But be careful about those things. They claim to speak for God. Secondly, they pretend to be sheep. They pretend to be sheep. They look like you and me. They look like us, talk like us, have their Bible. They tell my God is good all the time. Look what Jesus, look what Jesus says about them. He said, hey, listen, beware of false prophets. They come to you in what? Sheep's clothing. They look like sheep. They talk like sheep. They walk like sheep, right? Look, see this picture up here? You got sheep just hanging out. Look, you got Carrie and Larry chilling out right there, laying low, giving the B8. They don't even know it. Yeah, I'm about to eat these two. It's a wolf in sheep's clothing. They're chilling. They're not even afraid. Matter of fact, they ain't looking at it. Be looking at them like, yeah, I'm going to eat you. Well, be careful about that. They pretend to be a sheep, and they look like you and I. That's why we have to be careful. He says, be aware of false prophets who claim to speak for God and they look like you. They really do. That's why I said many false prophets are in pulpits this morning, preaching, proclaiming the gospel. And that's why we have to be very careful because they will tell you, don't enter that narrow gate. Don't enter the way of Jesus. Go to the wide gate. Now, let's look at the danger of these false prophets. Because there's nothing more dangerous to a sheep than a wolf. And a hungry wolf at that. There's nothing more dangerous to a sheep than a hungry wolf. Look what it says. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but what? Inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. A ravenous wolf come to do what? They come to eat. They are coming to eat. They're coming to take you out. Number one, a false prophet is destructive. A false prophet is destructive. Very destructive. 2 Peter talks about that. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Look what it says. It says, but false prophets also arose among the people. Now, the key thing he said, they arose. It can be very key. He said they arose among the people. That means they were already among the people. They just rose up. They arose among the people, just as there will be false prophets among you. Now that's scary. He's preaching to church folks saying that there'll be false prophets even among you that will rise up, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. Wow. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. He's saying they will rise up among you. They will deceive you. They will deny Jesus Christ. They will try to keep you from going the way of Jesus Christ. And many will follow them because they're doing it out of greed. And they will exploit you with false words. That happens even today. And let me tell you right now, false prophets can rise up even in our church. It can happen. Don't think that our church is, oh, it will never happen here. Preacher said they will be rising up among you. They will come right among you. And that's why we are very careful, and we are selective who sit in this pulpit, and we are selective who teach our connection groups. Not everybody in our church is going to teach a connection group. Everybody's not going to do that. And everybody shouldn't do that. Because if you're not careful, people will bring in their own agenda, their own dogma, their own doctrine, and they will lead people astray. Yeah, I know what the Word of God says, but what about this? I've seen it happen in many churches where they had small groups, and that one person got in there and began to lead people astray, and it messed up the whole church. Because one person came in with their own doctrine, they crept in, they looked like you, talked like you, they got some people together and brought in their own doctrine and led people astray. And we said that would not happen here. We protect God's people, we protect His Word. Everybody will not teach a connection group at Beyond the Walls. You must be in line with the doctrine of what we teach here. And that's so important. Now, why do we do that? Why do I do that as a pastor? Because God has called me to do a couple of things. To not only to preach the Word of God, to feed you, but to protect you. God has called me as a shepherd to protect His people. That's part of my job, to protect you from false teaching and from false doctrine. And so I'm always monitoring, everybody can't teach, everybody can't disciple, because they will lead you astray. And it can happen right in our church. Because Peter said, they're among you, and they will rise up. So be careful about that. So false prophets are dangerous, they are destructive. Here you go. They're divisive. False prophets get you by, they call division. Look again at Acts chapter 20, verse 28. This is amazing. Here's the Apostle Paul has been at this church preaching for about 3 years, raised up elders, and now he's getting ready to go. He's talking to these Ephesian elders at this church in Acts chapter 20, verse 28 and 30. He's saying, I'm getting ready to leave you. He's speaking to the elders. Here's what he says. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. He says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer. See what I'm saying right there? He says, if you are an elder, you are a pastor, God has made you an overseer to care for the church of God. That's what God's called me to do, to care for you, to watch out for you, to protect you. Now, here's what he says again also. Which he obtained with his own blood. Look at verse 29. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Now, verse 30 is key. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Paul said, I'm talking to you, and some of you, wolves are going to come in, and some of you are going to rise up after I leave and draw people away after you. That's division, right? That's what false prophets do. They're destructive. They're divisive. And they come in stealth mode to gain an advantage and a hold on you And that's why we have to be very careful. And that's what Jesus says, beware of false prophets who come to you in what? Sheep's clothing. But inwardly, they're wolves. Things are not always what they appear. People are not always what they appear. They're not. And we have to be careful. Not only that, false prophets are deceitful. They're liars. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. And Paul says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be what? Persecuted. Wow. He says the narrow gate is difficult because if you choose to live a godly life for Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. It's guaranteed. Bank on it. Write it down. You are going to be persecuted. If you stand for the truth, you preach the gospel, you are going to be persecuted. If you live under his authority, his teaching, and his leadership, you will be persecuted. Why? Because you'll be different from the world. And look what it says also. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Wow. They will deceive people and be deceived. False prophets are dangerous. They're destructive. They're divisive. And they are deceitful. And they can be among us. And we don't even know it. And that's why it says one of the jobs of the pastor is to protect the sheep from wolves. And that's why it's so important to me that I know who's doing what, who's discipling who, who's doing connection group. Because I know when you go on your own, you become a renegade, you become a Jason Bourne, off the radar, off the grid. No one can find you. You're doing your own thing. Things can happen. And I said, I am not going to allow that happen as long as I'm the pastor because God has put me to care for your soul, to protect you from people who will deceive you. And it can happen just like that. One person come with a destructive heresy, say this or say this, and you got people all, they're gone. Be careful. I know it can happen. I've seen it happen with my own eyes. That's why we have a process here at our church about how we do things so that we can protect people. So that when I stand before God, I can say, God, all you've given me, I've lost them. I've not lost none of them. I protected the one you've given to be a part of, to be a part of beyond the walls. I protected them. I preached the gospel, and I made sure there was no wolf that can come in and devour your people. Because God cares for his people. God cares for you. God cares for me. And God wants us to know the truth, because the truth will set us free. So we talked about the description of false prophets. We talked about the dangers, the actual danger of false prophets. Here's something else. Point three, ways to discern false prophets. You're able to discern a false prophet. You know that? Jesus said what? By their fruit, you can do what? You know them. Now, when we talk about a way to discern false prophets, do you know that how people are able to discern whether money is counterfeit? How do these people know how to know whether or not money is counterfeit? You know how they know? Because they study the real thing. People who are able to detect counterfeit money, they don't study counterfeit money. They study the real thing. They study real money, so when they see the real thing, they can pick a point just like that. They know how it feels. They know the texture. They can look at it and say, no, this doesn't feel right. It's not real. So you study the real thing. So if you and I want to discern false prophets, the first thing we must do is this. Study the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Hit that for me, Larry, that thing. There you go. Study the Word of God. That's a key thing. Study the word of God. Be like the Bereans. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. The Apostle Paul, they came preaching the gospel to the Bereans. They came talking with them and telling them about Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And it says in verse 11, it says, now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures, what? Daily, to see if these things were so. They examine the scriptures daily. That's why we give you, not only we preach the word to you, but we give you a sermon outline so you can go back and examine the word daily and say, is that what the word of God says? I know what Pastor Fellow said, but is that what the word of God says? We give you this and say, go back, meditate on it, study it, and grow and say, I am confident that when I come to Beyond the Walls Church, I am hearing what the word of God had to say. And you should be examining the word of God. You should study the word of God. And you should know that when you hear something that's false, you can pick up on and say, that's not the word of God. Because God has given us something inside of us to let our alarm system go off. That's the Holy Spirit. When you study the word of God and you hear something, you say, that is not of God. And I'm telling you, this week, talking to people, they would say things and they sound spiritual and it sounds good, but it is not the word of God. They will say stuff like, that's not what the Bible says. And you have to be careful about it. People will come to you and say stuff to you, and it'll sound spiritual, and it'll be false. It'll be false teaching. And they'll be telling it to you. Like one guy, even driving to church this morning, I'm listening to gospel music, and a guy comes on and says, listen, I want to help you out and tell you today that you need to, this week, your words are a creative force. You can speak things into existence. You heard that before? I just speak it. Matter of fact, they say it, and the Bible says, you know what? It says that we can call things that are not as if they what? Were. Right? That is not what the Bible says. That is not what it says. It says God calls things that are not as if they were. It's only God who can say, let there be light, and there was light. Only God can call things into existence because he is God. And when we use that scripture, what we're saying, we're God now. We can call things into we can create things with our words. No, you cannot. That is a lie. That is false prophet. You cannot create things with your words. God can do that. Only God can do that. But we have twisted scripture, and we start saying stuff that we know that the Bible does not teach that. And what he's talking about is Abraham, that when God told Abraham, I'm going to call you Abraham. And that means father of many nations. It says God who can call things that are not as if they were. He called him a father of many nations, even though he had not one child. Because God says, I know what's going to happen in your life. So I'm going to name you what's going to happen. And you can't see it, Abraham, but trust me, because I'm calling you Abraham, a father of many nations. God did that. You can't do that. But when we hear that, we take that and we run with that. All because, you know why? We don't study the word. We take big bits and pieces of the word and we start quoting scripture out of context. And we become false prophets because we start saying things that's not true. Then we become a false prophet. Then God says, beware of you, because now you claim to speak for God. So that's why anyone can become a false prophet, even a pastor. We take the word of God out of context. And that's why most of the time I like preaching through books of the Bible, because it keeps it in context. It keeps it in context. This is what it is saying. This is what it's meant to say. So if you want to know how to discern false prophets, study your Bible. Study the Word of God. And when you do, you will know the truth. Secondly, examine the fruit in their lives. Examine the fruit in their lives. Look back to Matthew chapter 7, verse 16. You will recognize them by their fruits. Who is them? The false prophets, right? You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, But the diseased tree bears bad fruit. In other words, these false prophets, one way to also examine them is by how they live, how they live their lives. And many of them who are false prophets, remember he said they're inwardly ravenous wolves. Paul talks about they go into widows' houses and manipulate them and take advantage of them. Now, how can you examine their lives? Here are some warning signs for you. I want you to see some warning signs. How to examine false prophets. Number one, covetousness. They covet. They always want more. They always want material things. They always want money. They're all about coveting. They're all about, you know, greed. It's all about more. I need to have more of this, more of this, more of this. Have you ever noticed that most of the false prophets, they talk about how God wants to bless you, and they seem to be the only one getting blessed? I mean, seriously, you ever notice that? They're the only one pulling up in a Rolls Royce, a Bentley, I mean, big gold chain. They're the only one. They say, God wants to bless you. They seem to be the one getting blessed. You ever notice that? They're the richest folks in the church. They tell you God want to bless you, but you got to bring some money down here. And you would think, really, if God want to bless me and that's how it works, shouldn't I be giving you some money? If that's going to be the blessing, right? The covet. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Once again, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 talks about this. He says, but understand this, Timothy, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self. We got that right with all these selfies going on Twitter. Selfies, boy, they love some self. Lovers of self. Lovers of money. Proud. Arrogant. Abusive. Disobedient to their parents. Hello. Ungrateful. Unholy. Heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen and conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Here's the key to verse 5. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. Avoid them. It's all about pleasure. And the Bible, avoid them. Don't even deal with them. Don't even let them in your house. And most of the time, you know, you can let a false prophet in your house. You know how we do it most of the time? Through television. We watch them. Now, we think we're watching them to critique them, but we really watch it, and we're almost being entertained, and we're being led astray because we keep watching it. Then they have us in our grasp because now we're watching them, we're seeing all their abundance, all this, and we complain about it, but we're not careful. We begin to lust, be mad because they got what I want, and so I begin complaining about it. And so they're saying, don't even deal with it. Don't even let it in your house. And I told you guys a few weeks ago, there's certain shows you shouldn't even be watching to even discuss. They're claiming to be godly shows, and you and I both know they're all about pleasure, it's all about abundance, always to exploit you, so you're sitting there watching it, meditating on something, so to meditate, read the Word of God, study that. Don't study that stuff. Don't even give me the time of day. Study the Word of God, study Jesus. Not that stuff. Also, a warning sign also is lawlessness. They lawless. They just say the Word of God is no longer their standard or their authority anymore. They become their standard and their authority. 2 Peter chapter 2, once again, I already talked about that. How they will begin to exploit you with false words. They begin to lead you astray. They begin to say no longer is the Word of God standard. There'll be covetous, lawlessness, and also they'll begin to teach false doctrine. That's why it's so good to know our Bibles. They began to teach false doctrine. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 and 5. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Look what Paul says to Timothy. Teach and urge these things. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil, suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining this, that godliness is a means of gain. False doctrine. That godliness is a means of gain. We've heard that. We call that the prosperity theology. Now let me explain something to you. God's not against people's prospering. If you work hard and you're a good steward of what you have, God will prosper. God said he wants us to know God will prosper you. But what he's saying, in fact, that you being godly is no guarantee God wants you to be rich. You being godly is no guarantee you're going to have a big house and a big car and you're going to walk around with all this stuff on. That's not, godliness has nothing to do with you. It's not saying, okay, I'm godly, now I'm going to be rich. I'm going to gain some money. That is not what the Bible teaches. Prosperity is more than money. It can include that, but it's more than that. I know some people who have money in the bank who are not prosperous. Who are not prosperous. They're not happy. They have no peace. Big houses, big cars, but they're not prosperous. But I know some people who live in an apartment who are prosperous. They have peace. They have joy. Kids love Jesus. They're happy. See, prosperity is more than material things. There's nothing wrong with having a car. There's nothing wrong with having a nice house and having a job. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. God does bless some people. Yes, he does. But you becoming a Christian, there's no guarantee that you're going to have all those things. Listen, if you don't never ever own a house on this side of heaven? Does that make you less than a Christian? No, it does not. There are many people who are never going to be homeowners in this world. But they have a home in heaven. I'm just sorry to tell you, there are some people who are never going to be healed on this side of heaven. They're going to always have ailments and be sick. But when they enter heaven, they should be what? Healed and set free. No more joy, no more pain. They have joy, in their life. And so what we have to do is be careful is when we always say that godliness means great gain. Godliness means you gain forgiveness and you know Jesus Christ. That's prosperity for you. Nothing wrong with prospering. But when we make that and we say that everyone's a Christian is going to be rich, then we are definitely preaching a false gospel. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? Yes, you should work hard. Yes, you should be a good steward of what God's giving you. Yes, you should honor God with your finances, with your life. God does bless those. But it does not mean you're going to ever be a millionaire. It doesn't mean that. And many people have done that and believe that and have got themselves in some horrible debt. Because he said, God wanted me to have that. It's not true. So be careful. And unfortunately, we have to be careful as Christians because most of the time when we say we're blessed, what is following that? We have had gotten something material. And we say we're blessed. Well, God bless me with this. God bless you with Jesus if he never ever give you anything else material. Now you should be grateful that you have things. But every time we say we're blessed and when we receive something material, but be careful about that. Because Jesus says it's more blessed to give than to receive. The greatest blessing you can ever do is to give someone something. expecting nothing in return. That's a blessing. God's allowed me to prosper, and I'm going to give this to you with nothing in return. Now, that is prospering. That is being a, that is prospering the way God wants us to be a blessing to someone else. So that's a warning sign of false prophets. They teach false doctrine. Also, there are very is also manipulation. Look at Jude, right before the book of Revelation. Jude, one chapter, but it's powerful. Jude, the third verse. He says, "Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in," here we go again, "unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only master and Lord, Jesus Christ." They manipulate people. They crept in unnoticed, stealth mode. Wow. See, that's one reason, honestly, that we have our discovery class, new members class. And people say to me, "Well, why do you have that? That's not biblical. You should have a people sign a covenant to say, well, I think it is biblical. It's to protect people. To say, here's what we believe. And if you agree with this, you should be able to sign your name and say, I agree with this, and I'm going to abide by what this church has said. And the minute that I cannot abide by this, I need to come into the pastor and tell you, I don't believe that anymore. I don't believe that. So we can know up front, okay, if you don't believe that, then, hey, this ain't the place for you. We love you, but if you don't believe this, what we teach over here, you shouldn't be a teacher. You shouldn't be discipling anybody. See, that's how you, and see, that's a loving thing to do. To protect people. Don't you agree? I agree. You shouldn't have me preaching up in this pulpit if I want to tell you, you know what? I don't believe Jesus Christ is the only way. I believe that, and then know there's many roads to God. That's a problem. Someone should say something. Wait a minute, Pastor. We don't believe that. Someone should say something. Hey, don't believe that. Can't do that here. How do we do that if we're not going to be accountable and know the Word of God? There are many people that manipulate people using the Word of God. You can make the Word of God say what you want to say. You really can. People find any scripture to validate their sin, what they already want to do. And the Word of God says this. Well, it says a lot of stuff. Be careful of false prophets. You're able to discern them by the fruit in their lives. And most of the false prophets, they want to manipulate you. Here's another one. They want to control you. They want to control you. Look at 3 John, verse 9, right before Jude. The Apostle John was writing to the church, and there was a man by the name of Diotrephes. Here's what he says. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. Isn't that something? So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us, and not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. Diotrephes, he said he won't even acknowledge the apostles, their authority, because he wants to be first. Controlling. Eventually, most false prophets were controlling. The Jim Joneses, and most of them are these charismatic leaders. They have this thing about them that draws people to them. The way they talk, their aura about them, how they dress, and people want to be around them. People want to hear them talk. How could Jim Jones get all those people to drink that poison and die? He controlled them. Charismatic leader. And most of the time, when there's a charismatic leader, he's going to control people to do what he wants you to do, not what God wants you to do. And that's key. Beware of false prophets who want to manipulate you and control you. But be careful about that. They're out there. They want your money. They want your allegiance. And we have to be careful. That's why you have to study the Word of God. So now I'm going to give you some things that are important for how to protect yourself against false prophets. Now we know how to discern false prophets. Now I'm going to say how to protect yourself against a false prophet, which is a wolf. How do you protect yourself against a false prophet? Number one, hold on to the truth of the Word of God. Hold on to the truth of the Word of God. You know John 3:16? You might want to know 2 Timothy 3:16. It says this, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We need to hold on to the Word of God. And we have to be careful because most prophets, they may start out quoting the Bible or opening the Bible, and most of them have left the Bible. I know one guy that he never quotes the scripture. He opened the Bible up and never uses it. Never says the Bible says this, always giving you his stuff. The Lord told me to tell you this. The Lord gave me a rhema word for you today. I had a vision about you. It's all about what God told him. Now, how can you challenge that? No, seriously. But he can't. God told him. Does God speak to people? Yes. But few and far between. God has spoken through his Son. And we have the Word of God. And if what someone tells you does not align with Scripture, it's false. Avoid them. Don't deal with them. Hold on to the truth of the Word of God. Because God's Word will correct you, reprove you, will train you, equip you for every good work. And many pulpits have left the Word of God. I mean, they have left it. They don't even use it. They have left it. And you can sit there from Sunday to Sunday and never hear what the Bible says. You hear what they said. I want to know what Jesus says about me. I want to know what the Word of God says about my life. I want to know what God says. What does the Bible say? Because that's the authority in my life and in your life. What does the Bible say about my situation? Many false prophets have vacated and left the Bible. So hold on to the truth of the Word of God. Secondly is this, very important. Get under sound biblical teaching. Get under sound biblical teaching. God never tells his sheep to stay up under false teaching. He never tells you to stay up under a false teacher. He never tells you stay committed to that. If you are at a church somewhere and the pastor is not preaching the Word of God, you should leave. Clear and simple. I know for me, whenever I was at a church, if I thought the pastor was not preaching the Word of God and wasn't preaching, I was not going to have my family up under that pastor. I would take them and leave because I had to ultimately answer to God, why'd you have your family under that pastor who was not teaching the Word of God? I'm out of there. Now, what I would do, so you know what I'm saying, I would tell him to his face. When I have to guess where I'm at, where is he going? Tell him, hey, I'm leaving. And now let me tell you something, that's what you should do. That's what a man does. You go to another man, tell him, this is why I'm leaving, this is why. Simple. That's how it should happen. Every church I've ever left, the pastor knew I was leaving. He knew. Didn't have to guess, didn't have to hear about it. He knew. That's how we should do it. That's the way you do it. Okay? But get up under sound biblical teaching. Look at Titus chapter 2. Now, I'm not going to read the whole verse to you, but it's some powerful verses that Paul tells Titus, who was a pastor. He tells him this. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But as for you, pastor, teach what accords with sound doctrine. He says it. Teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Well, you know what, the pastor, Paul is telling Timothy, teach men to be godly men. That's what he says. Teach the men in your church to be godly men. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Now, I know I get a lot of flack for this, and people get mad at me, and I say this right here. God has called me to pastor, and we love everybody in our church. But I have always, and I will always say, we want men to lead their families. We want men to lead this church. Not because they're male shoulder, because God has called men to be ultimately responsible for their families. For the Felton family, the buck stops with me. God's called me to lead my wife and my children in righteousness and holiness, and I cannot put it on my wife. That is not fair to say, well, the reason why we ain't doing right, God, because of Lynette. See, Adam did that. That's what Adam did. But see, a man of God would say, it is me, Lord. A man would do what Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what a man does. A man does that. A man does not hide behind his wife. A man doesn't blame his wife. The man said, it's my responsibility to lead my wife and children in the fear of the Lord. And yes, my wife is definitely needed. Without her, our family would not run. Without her, our children would not be who they are. But make no mistake about this. She wants me to lead the family. She expects me to pray. She expects me to lead our family. She tells me, you must lead us somewhere. And every woman of God should tell their husband, lead our family to Jesus. I'm not going to usurp that authority that God's giving you. Amen, ladies? Got a quiet out there. Talk to me. Now, I got quiet for a minute. I'm worried about some of you. Because I found out this, that when a man loves Jesus, and he loves him so much that his wife is happy, because she's going to receive the benefits of that. See, you should never want your husband to love you more than he loved Jesus. You know, you don't want that. And man, you never want your wife to love you more than Jesus. You do not want that. You want her to love Jesus more than she loves you. Because when she loves Jesus more than you, you're going to be happy. Now, if she loves you more than Jesus, you're not going to be happy. Because she's going to blame you for her unhappiness. Because her happiness is not going to be dictated by how she feels about you. But when my wife is in love with Jesus, I do not define her happiness. God does. That's key. Y'all better write that down. That's money in the bank right there. Better write that down. And that's the problem with most marriages. They have put their spouse in the place of God. And now their spouse dictates to them how they feel about God. Well, I'm mad at my husband. I ain't going to church today. Shoot, I am. I'm going to church and going to praise God because I'm going to serve God. I'm going to pray about my wife, but I'm going to church to praise God. But Paul tells Titus to do that. Then he says, now here we go, now verse 3, ladies. You have a role to play in the church that is so powerful. If women could get this man, I'm telling you, this is powerful. Look what it says. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, I mean not gossiping. Let me help you out with that. Or slaves to much wine. Don't be drinking too much now. They are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands. Why? That the word of God may not be reviled. Now, man, I preach that, man, like heresy. Look what this says. That women are to be submissive to their own husbands. In other words, what God is saying now, this is key, that when God begins to examine the life of a woman, you know where he starts at? At the home. He'll start outside the home with your career. He starts with your first calling as to be a helpmate to your husband in the home. God's never going to ask you how much money you made for your boss. He's going to ask you, what type of children did you raise? And what other women did you help disciple and to be godly and to have godly behavior? Wow. Now that is totally contrary to the world. What I just said, what I just read in this Bible, that's contrary to what many people believe. But I just read the Word of God, what it says. Now whom are you going to believe? The world or the Word of God? I choose to believe the Word of God. And that's why it's so important for you and I to be up under sound teaching. You need to be a part of a church. That's why it's so important, because people say, now what we have today in our society, and it's become rampant, we have Christians who belong to no church. They're nomads. They're nowhere. They're at home. I got my Bible, reading it, it's me and Jesus. You need more than Jesus. And what I mean by that, God's called you to be a part of the body of Christ. He never called you to be by yourself. We are to love God and do what else? Love people. You need people. And so what I'm trying to say to you is this. You got to be up on the sound biblical teaching. Someone's going to tell you the Word of God whether you want to hear it or not. Someone's going to tell you the truth. This is what God's Word says. Get up on the sound biblical teaching. God, you have no right to be in any church that's not preaching the Word of God. You should be up out of there. If it's this church, you should leave. You need to be up on the sound biblical teaching. And there are many people that sitting up on the unbiblical teaching. All because, well, my friends here and the music is so great here. If the Word of God's not being preached, I don't care how the music is. I'm not doing that. I have a radio in my car to listen to. So also something else, last one. Examine everything you hear in light of Scripture. 1 Thessalonians. Examine everything you hear in light of Scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Paul says this. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Examine everything that someone says who claims to speak for God. Test it by the, and what are you tested by? The Word. I'm gonna test what you're saying by the Word of God. Heard one pastor say God told him to divorce his wife and marry someone else. God told me that she wasn't for me. I would divorce her and get with her. And yet God's Word says I hate divorce. Do not, what God's put together, let no man what? Separate. And you're going to stand before God's people and say, God told you to leave your wife and marry someone else. And the church was shouting about it. Stayed there after the pastor divorced his wife. Then he got worse. Then he divorced his wife for this woman. Then turned around and divorced the woman that God told him to marry. Divorced her too. And the church is still, and the people are still there. And the man's on television preaching. My God gave him a word for you. No, bro, God gave him a word for you. Stop divorcing your wife. But we laugh at that. But many people sit up under that type of teaching every Sunday. Sit up under it. Flock to it. Run to it. You know why they flock to it and run to it? Because it fits what they want to hear. Hey, if he can be like that, I can be like this. No one's held accountable. That's why they sit up under. He lived his life. I live my life. Everybody's cool. And that's unfortunate. As Paul told Timothy, the time has come where people would not endure sound doctrine. They won't put up with it anymore. they would turn their ear from the truth and they would heap for themselves teachers who will appease their itching ears. People will no longer want the truth. They want something else. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me I need to be faithful to my wife. Don't tell me I can't divorce my wife because I'm mad at her. Don't tell me that. Tell me it's okay that God loves me. Can't tell you that. Can't tell you that. So beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing. That's why we want to be a church that's known for loving God, loving people, and preaching the word of God. You should come here every Sunday expecting to hear the Bible proclaimed. You should expect that from me. You should expect that. You should expect me to stand before you and say, here's what the word of God says, and explain it to you. If I'm not doing that, there's a problem. And you should hold me accountable for that. You really should. And unfortunately, many pastors are not being held accountable for preaching God's word. But they will be held accountable to God one day for not feeding God's people. And I want that on my conscience, that I have not shunned to preach to you the whole counsel of God. So my conclusion is simple. Trust the word of God. Trust the word of God and beware of false prophets. Jesus talked about it, saying in the last days there will be false Christs and false prophets, and many will be led astray by them. Let it not be said about our church that someone can come and lead you astray like that. You should know the word of God, and you should at this point now, if you haven't done this, I'm going to encourage you to do this because I think it's so important. You should have you a little binder, a notebook, where you have your sermons, punch holes in it, and keep them. I mean, I give it to you. You should have all the notes of Matthew chapter 7 already in a binder somewhere. You have them. Wait, I preach the whole gospel, the gospel of John. You should have all the gospel of John, all the notes. You should keep that. Why? He said, well, why should I keep that? Because God may want you to use it in someone else's life. And you can go back and read it for yourself. Amen? You should be able to say, I got the word. There's no excuse for me not knowing the word of God. There's no excuse for me not knowing a false prophet. There's no excuse for that when I have the word of God every Sunday being given to me. But many of us walk out of here with the word of God in our hand and never, ever read it and apply it to our lives. So my goal as a pastor is to tell you, beware of false prophets. Amen? Amen? Trust God's word. And when we trust God's word, we believe in God's Son, Jesus Christ. As Brother Wayne is coming, we're going to